Let's pray for each other now, and for Richard as he leads us in that, and for all of us as we want to help each other. This is a family endeavour that we're about, and we've all got a responsibility to play in that, so let's pray. Father, we want to pray for ourselves now in these next few minutes together, that you'd help us, give us ears to listen and eyes to see. We think of that challenge in the book of James that says we shouldn't listen to the word only, but that we should do what it says. And so we pray that by your Spirit you would enliven your word into our hearts and our minds. Give us soft hearts, and by your Spirit, Lord, waken us up. We thank you for what we've seen of the Lord Jesus this morning, and we pray that you'd help us to see him more and to see our identity in him, his lordship, and his great sacrifice for us, that that would be underpinning all of what we do and what we're about. And we pray for Richard as he helps us think about those things, and for all of us as we discuss and encourage each other in the word. And we ask these things in his precious name. Amen.
So what we're going to be doing, we're going to look at a few sections of Colossians, then we're going to have a time to discuss what we've learned round tables and to share a bit of the things we're learning. So that's kind of the format for this morning. So if you're going to turn up the letter to Colossians, I've got a few people down to read. They'll come up at different points and read sections for us. So yeah, as Chris has said, this is the beginning of a new topical series we're running this week, Growing Together in Jesus, the church we want to be. And this series sort of came out of a time when the elders took some time out earlier on this year to talk, pray, reflect on where we think the Lord might be leading us at this stage of our life together. And we came up with these sort of six areas in which we feel we really want to grow as a church family. And so we came up with these six priorities for our life together. And the first three sort of are designed to sort of form the foundation for the second three. We're sort of saying we want to grow in Jesus, grow in love, grow in prayer, and then that will sort of lead into growing in mission, in service, and in hospitality. Now again, I hope I've said several times already, we're not claiming this is an exhaustive list, these are the only things anyone on Avenue should be committed to, but we do believe these are areas that we should be looking to grow in the coming months and years in our life together as a church family. I notice that word we keep coming back to, it is growing or growth. That was a word that we kept coming to. We want to see Avenue grow as a church family. And in one way, you could say in numbers, well, yes, that's great when we grow in numbers, but above all, we want to grow in our love and worship of the Lord Jesus as the Lord of the church and the Lord of our lives. I had a book on my desk through a lot of the time of us having these discussions, a book called Fruitful Leaders by a friend of mine called Marcus Honeysett. And they say you shouldn't sort of just stick with a cover of a book, but actually it was the cover that really hit me for a long time as we were discussing this. Just this image, you can see it there, of just these ripe grapes growing healthy on the vine. And I guess that sense of grapes only grow when they're attached to the vine. That's a sign of life for them. And again, for us as a church, we will only grow if we are relying on the Lord Jesus, if we're following him as the Lord of the church and the Lord of our lives. So when we talk about growth, what we're really talking about is life. Growing in our understanding of the gospel, growing in our love for Jesus, who he is and what he's done for us, and sort of growing in our understanding of who we are because of what he's done, who we are in Christ, as the New Testament puts it. So it's only right we begin this series with this heading, Growing in Jesus. And a quick word on the format. You're going to see a lot of the elders in the next few weeks. We're sort of spreading the teaching around the elders. Paul is going to be leading us in some sections. And we want to give time for discussion and response each week. So we're going to do that in groups on a Sunday morning. And also home groups are going to link really closely to this series. We want to give as much time for people to pray about these areas, to reflect on them, to think through what would it mean for us to grow in these areas. So our first one this morning, growing in Jesus. And again, if the first three of those growth areas are the foundation for the next three, this one's the foundation of them all, really. And when we first shared this series at a family meeting before the summer, some people sort of said to me, well, how do you cover growing in Jesus in 1 week? So that's a bit sort of madness to think you can just do that in 1 week. And I'm going to say, well, we can't cover it all in 1 week, but we're going to try anyway. And that's sort of our attempt this morning. And where we're going for that is the book of Colossians that hopefully you've got open in front of you. I mean, in one sense, you go to anywhere in the Bible. The whole Bible is about Jesus, about why we need him, who he is, what it means to be rescued by him. But you'd actually go a long way to get a more explicitly Christ-centered letter than this letter to the Colossians. And there are two big ideas I want us to take away from our time in Colossians this morning, and they are these. Jesus is Lord, very simply that phrase, over the whole of life, so we can worship him anywhere, and Jesus is Lord over his people, the church, so we should follow him anywhere. So that's sort of, these are the bits we're going to be unpacking this morning and unpacking in our home groups this week. So the first section I want us to look at is chapter 1 of Colossians, verses 15 to 20. Because actually this section really underlines who this Jesus is that we're seeking to grow in. Again, we learn when you read the whole letter of Colossians that there were lots of different Jesuses being presented to these people. Lots of different versions of Jesus. People said, well, follow this Jesus, follow that Jesus. So Paul really wants his readers to know who it is he's talking about. And it's the same today. Today there are lots of different Jesuses presented to us in this world. There's the good teacher, the nice man, the social revolutionary, the madman. So who is the Jesus we want to grow in? And very clearly, I just want to say it's the Jesus we meet in God's word. It was a Swiss theologian, Karl Barth, who said, without scripture, the remembered Jesus becomes the imagined Jesus. We need to root everything we're saying in this series in the pages of God's word to understand who it is we're talking about, to meet the real Jesus. So we're going to look at Colossians 1, 15 to 20, and I've asked Kate if she could read that for us. Thanks, Kate.
The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
Thanks, Kit. So basically, looking over that passage there, I guess Paul is seeking to present his readers with who Jesus is, with the glory and the majesty of Jesus. And in presenting Jesus in that way, he's actually taking issue with what lots of false teachers of his day were saying about the Christian life. So there seem to have been false teachers in this town of Colossae. We don't quite know exactly what they were saying, but from the letter we can make a few reasonable guesses. One guess we can make is that these false teachers are telling the Colossians that yes, they need to trust in Jesus, but they also need special wisdom that only these false teachers can give them. They need to have particular spiritual experiences, particular teaching from these false teachers. So basically, Jesus isn't quite enough, these false teachers were saying. They need to listen to them as well. And then the other thing they seemed to be saying was that what they were offering, these false teachers, only a small number of Christians could really understand it. What they were saying is it's just an elite of Christians can really get the Christian life. And I want to say that Paul opposes those two positions absolutely adamantly in this letter, because faith in Jesus is everything to Paul. It is everything he needs to get right with God and to live for him, and it's everything that we need to get right with God. and to live with him. So Paul writes this description, this glorious description of the Son of God to show that Jesus really is everything that we need for life. So that message again, Jesus is Lord. And first of all, Paul wants to say he's the Lord over the whole of life. That's verses 15 to 17. He's the image of the invisible God. If you want to know what God is like, Paul says, we look at Jesus. He's the firstborn, the king over all creation. All things are created through him and for him. Basically, Paul says Jesus is the reason the world exists today. And Jesus is the reason any of us exist today. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus is the Lord of the whole of life. And that's got huge implications for us and our life here at Avenue. Because basically it means we can worship Jesus anywhere. And we should worship Jesus wherever we are in life. Really understanding that Jesus is Lord over the whole of life can transform the way we live our lives. Because later in Colossians, in chapter 3, if you want to just flick over the page to chapter 3, there's a section of teaching that Paul sort of seeks to apply what it means for Christians to worship Jesus as Lord over every area of their lives. We're going to look at this section in home groups this week, but it's kind of from verse 12 of chapter 3, sort of to the end of that chapter. And in this section of the letter, Paul is speaking to wives and husbands. He's speaking to children and fathers, to slaves and masters, and he calls on all of them to worship Jesus in every area of their lives. So look ahead to chapter 3, verse 18 for a minute. When a Christian wife lovingly submits to her husband, Paul says she is worshiping Jesus. When a Christian husband loves his wife, refuses to be harsh with her, he is worshiping Jesus. When Christian children obey their parents, Christian fathers refuse to be harsh to provoke their children, they are worshiping Jesus. See, if Jesus is the Lord over the whole of life, Paul says, then the whole of our lives matter to him. Everything we do with our lives matters to Jesus. I love it when sort of two people prepare things and we don't know that they're praying the same thing. But Chris, you mentioned this quote a minute ago, which is great. Abraham Cooper, he says this, "There is not a square inch in the whole domain of human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not say, 'Mine.'" Jesus, Lord over everything. Or as Paul puts it himself in Colossians, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." So again, what difference does it make to our lives when we recognize Jesus is Lord over everything? Well, again, we're going to be talking about that in a moment, but I want to encourage us that this fills every day of our lives with amazing meaning. Nothing we do is insignificant because Jesus is Lord over our lives. And I think that is a truth that if we just grasp it, it's our dynamite for us. So again, we just think about later on today how we relate to maybe our loved ones or our flatmates, how we relate to your boss or your colleagues tomorrow at work. Jesus is Lord over those relationships. And we can serve and worship him in the way we relate to people in those relationships. Whether we're bearing with someone we find difficult, whether we're doing a job we find mundane or dull, whether we're just wondering, where am I in life? Actually, Jesus is Lord over where you are. The details of our lives matter to him, Paul says. And believe it or not, you can know him, worship him, and grow in your love for him, even where you are right now. Remember, this bit in chapter 3 is addressed to slaves, many of whom would have longed to be free. But Paul says, actually, you can serve Christ even as a slave. You can serve him and worship him wherever you are. So Jesus, he's the Lord over the whole of life, Paul says. But actually, there's a particular area of life he's got particular concern for and that he loves above all else. And that is his people, the church. That's verses 18 to 20 of chapter 1. And Paul, again, wants the Colossians to see here just how majestic Jesus is, because he wants them to grow in their love for him. He wants them to stick with this Jesus. So verse 18, Jesus, the head of the body, the church. His people cannot function. We cannot live unless we're attached to the head, to Jesus. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. Basically, Jesus has founded a new humanity and invites us to join him with it. When he rose from the dead, he brought about a new humanity. And if we trust in him, we're part of that humanity. Again, these majestic pictures of Jesus Paul gives us. But then amazingly, he ends this section by saying that we can actually see Jesus' majesty most clearly at the cross, verses 19 to 20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So Paul actually lifts his reader's eyes to Jesus as Lord on a cross, where he's dying the death of a common criminal. And yet Paul says, this is Jesus as Lord, rescuing us, reconciling us to himself. So that very moment where that phrase, Jesus is Lord, seems like a sick joke as he hangs on a cross, Paul says, that's where we see his majesty, his lordship, clearer than anywhere else. We see the extent of his love and the extent of the rescue, the reconciliation he's brought about with us. And as a result of that lordship, that love for his people, Paul says we should follow this Jesus anywhere. We need to grow in this Jesus. We can be in no doubt. Jesus loves his people. He loves his church. And he's Lord over our life together. And his purposes for us are good. And that's an amazing truth for us to hold on to. Again, Avenue, it's not ultimately our church, it's his church. Jesus is the crucified Lord of the church, and so only he knows how to grow us. Only he knows what we need at this stage in our life together. Only he can actually lead us and use us powerfully for his purposes, so we grow in our love for him, and others grow in their love for him. So we need to follow this Lord Jesus in our lives as individuals, in our life together as a church, because he's the one we can trust, and he's the one who loves us. Now, a little later in Colossians chapter 1, Paul reveals to us how he sort of applies this teaching of the lordship of Jesus to his own life. You want to turn for a minute to Colossians 1, 28 to 29, just over the page, and Matthew is going to read that for us. Colossians 1, 28 to 29.
Here Paul is still speaking about Jesus and says, "We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me."
Thanks, Matthew. So basically, this bit of Colossians, this kind of gives us Paul's mission statement, his sort of purpose in life. And these words sort of help us understand what made the Apostle Paul tick as a missionary, as a church leader, as a pastor, as an evangelist. And basically, his purpose in life, he tells us, very simply, is this. He wants to see people grow in Jesus. He says, "We proclaim him," that is Jesus as Lord, "admonishing and teaching everyone so we may present everyone fully mature in Christ." Now, you may not know, this is actually one of Paula's favorite verses, and she always sort of tells me, well, actually, this applies to every aspect of the Christian life. It applies to evangelism, and it applies to discipleship. And I think she's right in that, actually. Those two things are a lot more closely related than we often think they are. So evangelism for Paul, sharing the good news of Jesus with people who don't yet know him, that is discipleship. That is calling people to follow Jesus in every area of their lives. And discipleship will always involve, in some shape or form, evangelism, as we seek to live as Jesus' witnesses. However low-key we do that, however feeble we think our attempts are, discipleship and evangelism always go hand in hand. And that is Paul's purpose in life, to see people, those who already know Jesus, those who don't know Jesus yet, to grow in their knowledge of him. I want us to see that actually Paul's really clear here. That knowledge of Jesus is for everyone. Again, he's taking issue with the false teachers here. Remember, they said only a select few people can really understand who Jesus is. But Paul says, basically, that's a denial of the gospel. He says everyone can grow in their knowledge of Jesus. Verse 28, that word everyone appears three times in the original Greek. So as we proclaim him, admonishing everyone, teaching everyone, so we present everyone fully mature in Christ. There is no spiritual elite in Christianity. All the truth about Jesus is for all the people of God. And that conviction needs to stay at the heart of our life together as a church family if we want to grow in Jesus. So the gospel is for everyone, Paul says. It's for men and women. It's for young and old. It's for people who know Jesus. It's for people who don't know Jesus. And that is why we do the things we do at Avenue. Why we learn from the gospel together on a Sunday morning. Why we gather around the gospel in small groups and home groups during the week to learn from God's word, to listen to him, to be changed by that. And that's why we teach the gospel to everyone we can, including young children and young people. I mean, again, just take that example of Sunday Club for a minute. Graham just told us the different groups we're in. It's starting a new term this year. The work of Sunday Club, so going on right now behind us, that's absolutely vital to our life together as a church family. If we want to see people grow in Jesus, we want our young people to grow in Jesus. The work of Accelerate, our weekly mid-club just starting recently, that's vital to our desire to see people grow in Jesus. Now, that's dealing with really young children. Make no mistake, it's years 1 to 4, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds. And we may doubt that children that young could really understand who Jesus is. But look again at what Paul says. It's for everyone, the gospel. Regardless of age or gender or background, Paul wanted to proclaim Jesus to everyone, and so do we. And we've all got a part to play in that. Now you might say, well, that's maybe just Paul. That's maybe just Paul's gifting. He's talking about himself here in verses 20 to 29. So that's maybe not for everyone. But a little later in Colossians, Paul makes it clear that is a task for everyone. Just glance ahead to 3, verse 16. Chapter 3, verse 16. He says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Paul says, teaching and admonishing one another, it's the job of every Christian. Interestingly, he actually applies this to the way we sing together. We don't often think of that, but again, the songs we sing to each other, when we gather together, they should be full of the gospel, full of truths about Jesus that we need to hold on to. But that also applies to every aspect of our life, everything we do together, our conversations on a Sunday morning, in home group, the ways we pray for one another. We are to be teaching and admonishing one another to remain in Jesus and to grow in our understanding of him. We all have a part to play in seeing one another grow in Jesus. That is why we exist as a church family. And I want to finish this time in Colossians looking at sort of the central hinge of the letter. That is chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. And Joe is going to read that for us. Chapter 2, verses 6 to 8.
So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ.
Thanks, Jill. So basically, I just want to leave you with these verses because this is what it's all about, says Paul. He says, receive Jesus as Lord and then continue to live your lives in him. Literally what Paul says is walk in him. So the idea is that sort of every step of our lives, Jesus is Lord over our lives. So step by step, day by day, we are living in Jesus, seeking to worship him and to grow in our love for him. So that's the challenge before us, I guess, as we begin this series, as we begin this term. Will we walk in Jesus? Will we continue to live in him? Rooted and built up in him, Paul says. Like trees getting all our strength and our nourishment from Jesus, from the gospel. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Will we learn to be people who thank Jesus for his grace for the cross and urge one another to thank him for those things? Again, verse 8 reminds us there's lots of other philosophies out there in the world that depend on things other than Jesus. Lots of different Jesuses even, we thought about at the beginning. So how can we grow in our knowledge of the real Jesus? Well, Paul says, continue to live in him, in the faith that you were taught. Then you will be able to discern the real Jesus you're to follow. Again, I remember as a kid seeing, I think it was an episode of Blue Peter, and I was a bit of a geeky kid, I watched Blue Peter, and there was a guy from the Royal Mint there, and he was showing them how they make coins and banknotes, and the question was asked, actually, well, what about forgeries? What about counterfeit notes? So how can you tell the difference? And the guy said, well, right, and if there are lots of different ways of faking money, it's a very difficult job, and they were, okay, right? But then he said, but the key really is, I get all my people just to look, really get to know the genuine banknote. And the more they get to know the genuine note, the better able they are to say, well, that's not the genuine one. So they don't get too worried about all the different ways of forging, just get to know the real thing. And that's really what we need to do as a church family. With all the different philosophies out there, with all the different ways of living that we might be tempted to follow, get to know the real Jesus. And you will be able to discern what is really of him and what isn't. And we do that through his word and by his spirit. That is how we grow in thankfulness and how we grow in our understanding of living our lives with Jesus as Lord over every area of it and over our life together as a church family. So, round your tables then. We're going to take a few minutes. Just two questions to think about. And again, you may just have time for one, but I'm keen for us to sort of have a bit of time on this. Looking at the first bit of Colossians 1:15-20, which areas of your life do you struggle to recognize Jesus as Lord over? It's very easy to say Jesus is Lord over everything, but what does that actually look like? And what difference would it make if you saw that Jesus is Lord over every area of our lives? Maybe touch at chapter 3, the relationships there that we might struggle with, work relationships, family relationships. And then, again, you can go straight to the second question if you want. Paul's purpose in life in chapter 1:28-29. How do you respond to that? And how would having that purpose for your life change the way we relate to one another as a church? Whether our home groups, people closest to us, people we live and work alongside. That sense of wanting to see people grow in Jesus. So we're going to give about sort of 5-10 minutes to do that round your tables. Then we're going to finish with some time of singing, but please do turn to people around you and chat through those questions. Okay, so hopefully you've had a bit of a chance to talk through. We're keen to actually have a little bit of feedback, actually, from what tables are talking about. on either one of these areas. So again, you may just have talked about the first thing, the lordship of Jesus. The second thing about Paul's purpose in life, what would it be like if that's our purpose, to see people grow in Jesus? But any things that sort of questions, comments came out of that, Chris is going to be glamorous assistant with the mic. So any sort of comments, thoughts, people, things that have struck people this morning that we'd like to share with the big group. Again, we'll be touching this in home groups as well, but just a few thoughts from people before we head into a final time of singing. So anyone up for sharing what your table was talking about? Matthew?
Sarah Fox Lilly had a good point about recognizing Jesus as Lord over salvation, sovereign over other people's salvation, and trusting him with that.
Yeah.
Can be difficult.
Can be difficult, yes. Yes, so we desperately want someone to come to faith, but it says we don't get the final shot on that. Yeah, that's hard to trust in that situation, but we need to, don't we? Yeah.
I think something that Richard in our group said, which is it goes against the whole way that people around us and the world around us works. You know, we're in our culture, we're in control, we can sort it, and we're the boss. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is that what you were going to say as well?
I was going to follow on from that one slightly, and we were talking about how it's difficult to see God in our failures. And sometimes it's actually more difficult to see him in our success.
Yeah, we take the credit rather. Yeah. So, yeah, it is a challenge. It goes against our instincts, doesn't it? Again, do people think of what difference it would make to the way we see some of aspects of our lives if we did just see, we've seen it's difficult to see Jesus as Lord. Do we get on to what difference we think it would make to the way we live our lives? Oh, there's Cheryl.
We were saying that really any areas where you're worrying about things are areas of your life where Jesus isn't Lord. So if you could trust him to be the Lord over those areas of your life, then you'd have a lot more peace and would worry a lot less.
Yes, Cheryl. Thanks. Thanks. Other comments on that?
We talked about worry as well, actually, and pride also might be an indicator. We spent a bit of time thinking, what are the indicators of where we don't have Jesus as Lord? So worry and pride maybe was another indicator.
Yeah. I want to say again, I think it takes a lot to get our head in it, but I think to see the meaning which the most mundane things we do in our lives have if Jesus is Lord over them, like putting out the bins, doing the washing up, just you being patient with someone, you know, that does transform the way we live our whole lives, actually. So again, Paul's really clear in this letter. There's no spiritual elite. It's husbands and wives. It's fathers and children. It's slaves and masters. Everyone can worship Jesus in the detail of their lives. That's a struggle for us to recognize, but actually that's part of growing in Jesus to see that. But yeah, any other comments before we hand over to Chris again? Yes.
I think we were just thinking on this table, really, is there actually any area where we don't struggle? Because I think in every area, Mike was saying a really, really good point, conscientiously, we automatically will go to God. And yeah, we will. We will sit down and go, oh, there's trouble here, or there's not trouble here, so I'll do this, I'll give it to God. But subconsciously, in every single area, is it our automatic get-to? Is it automatically what we do?
Yeah.
So I think actually, we can't pin it down. It's every area.
Yeah.